If parenthood came with a GPS, it would most likely just say recalculating. Join Yolandi Becker and her guest experts Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Bump and Beyond, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, it is Wednesday morning and it's that time of the week. It's time for Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. Today is an interesting one for me as well, and something that I'm going to share some insights on it, but I feel like I'm definitely not the expert on it because I've never worried too much about what I eat, I have to say, in some ways. I just really enjoy eating. And in some ways, but in lots of ways, eating also comes natural to me. And eating well, I can definitely feel the difference when I'm eating good and when I'm not eating well. And so today we are talking with dietitian and mom of two, Lisa Snyman, about gut health, specifically for children, of course. And yes, I would love, as always, for you to be part of this conversation. So if you have questions on gut health, but specifically, I want to know, do you know what gut health is? Have you ever thought of your own gut health? Because it is like gut health is also one of those in words at the moment that people are always talking about and whatever. And do you actually know what it means? What does it entail for your broader health to have good gut health in the end of the day? But please do send me WhatsApp if you have a moment on 061-895-1019. 061-895-1019. Let me know. Do you know what gut health is? Do you have a good gut health? Does it mean that you go to the bathroom regularly? I would love to know your opinion on it. So please do send me a WhatsApp. But as I mentioned, luckily I'm not the only one talking about this today because clearly I don't know what I'm talking about. So joining me today is dietitian Lisa Snyman. Hello, Lisa. Thank you for joining me today.
Oh, Yolandi, lovely being here. Thank you for having me today.
Yeah. So let's hear what the phrase gut health, like I told you, this is now an it word at the moment that people are talking about. But what does gut health mean? And specifically, I mean, for children, what does that entail?
I hear you. You know, the concept is gut health means, and it refers to the balance of good bacteria and other organisms in the digestive tract. But what makes this very interesting is that digestive bacteria, and we refer to that as probiotic bacteria, they are the good bacteria, the friendly guys doing the hard work. So digestion starts in your mouth where the sputum's enzymes will kick off the digestive process. Obviously, then accelerated by the stomach acid, but the big work, the hard work, is done by the microorganisms or probiotic bacteria in the intestines. And the bacteria actually is responsible to not only digest the food, but also absorb key nutritional factors such as vitamins, minerals, and proteins. Very important to have good gut health if we summarize it in that way.
But I mean, it's also like, because that's now so interesting, because for me also, now you said the whole digestive system, and in my head when I was thinking gut health, I was literally thinking my stomach.
Yes.
I was not thinking of the whole thing, obviously, from the mouth to the end. And what I mean, that's a big part of your body that it actually, in essence, is going through.
Yes.
So it must have a good impact on it. But when does your gut health then start? How early are you? Because I'm asking this because specifically now, I recall a conversation with a midwife.
Yes.
About the birth of your baby. That it's helpful if a baby is born naturally because they go through your vaginal channel, and then there's certain gut bacteria from you as a mom that they are exposed to when they are born.
Oh, most definitely.
So is that actually, so what I'm asking is it from birth then that your gut health is started?
So from how early on does gut health start to matter? And I think the clear-cut answer is that as early as infancy. As you now clearly pointed out, you receive your bacterial load from your mother during natural childbirth, but also you get bacteria from breast milk. So dietitians, we advocate strongly for exclusive breastfeeding specifically for that reason, because from the breast milk you get extra probiotic bacteria, but you also receive antibodies from breast milk and prebiotic components as well. And maybe we should discern between the two, prebiotics and probiotics, for the listeners.
That would be helpful, because I already earlier, when you were saying probiotics, I was like, what's the opposite of pro?
There you go, exactly. So probiotics, number one, the friendly guys, the good bacteria, the guys digesting the food, deriving the vitamins and minerals from that and putting it in our bloodstream. So should I not have enough of these good guys and I still have a varied diet, I may actually have some nutritional deficiencies because I'm not necessarily absorbing all the vitamins and minerals I am trying to take in through my diet. But the probiotic serves as food for the probiotic. So you need both. If you want a healthy gut, you need both probiotic and prebiotic.
Okay. So that now, I mean, I like that you're explaining this prebiotic and this probiotic difference as well. But that now, because you're saying we need both, but now what is this connection between a child's gut? And then, because that's our, why is it important that I have good gut? Is it going to help on our immune system, or what is it helping with?
Yes, let's delve into that a little bit. So we know that by the age of three, the microbiome, which now refers to all the friendly bacteria and microbes in the gut, by the age of three is similar to that of an adult. So we know that there's early onset and that we have to take care of our bowel from early on. But your biggest immune system is the digestive tract. So the digestive tract starts in the mouth, ends in the rectum. And the digestive tract is lined with a magic lining, and a pink magic lining. I mean, look at the inside of your mouth. That mucosa runs from your mouth down your esophagus up until the rectum. And the function of this is to create an effective barrier to prevent pathogens and germs from crossing into the bloodstream and eliciting a fever or infection or a simple cold. So we need this mucosal lining to protect us and boost our immune system. So the bacteria role is to maintain this lining. So we always ask the question, why and how does bacteria link, gut bacteria link to immune system? And it's basically the fact that it upholds the integrity and strength of the mucosal lining, preventing the effect of germs affecting my immune system. So Yolandi, should you now sneeze and I happen to inhale your germs, I am protected against that because my mucosal lining will prevent the germs from entering my bloodstream. But should my digestive health be compromised and my bacteria is not able to maintain that lining, my micro cracks will develop in the lining and the bacteria will cross, the germs will cross, and I'll get sick. So simply put, I need bacteria to stay healthy.
And I mean, first of all, I'm like a little bit with my mouth open at the moment because I'm learning so much. I know Lisa actually quite well, to be honest, guys. And I've known she's smart, but this is like really, I mean, you know what you're talking about, yeah.
This is really a field of interest for me.
It is really like, I mean, and literally as you're talking, because my son is actually at home sick at the moment. And I mean, I'm training for a marathon and I don't want to get sick. So I'm a little bit like wary at the moment. But I was also wondering to myself before, like he's been sick for a couple of days now, how I have managed not to get sick. But clearly I have impressive gut health. That's what I'm thinking now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker, and we're talking today gut health and specifically in children. if you've only just joined us, I honestly, the first 10 minutes is I've already learned so much about gut health. And not that I feel I've not been informed on this topic. I know obviously what it is and I've learned about it along the way, but I've learned so much already. If you've missed the show so far, don't worry. Luckily, it is available as a podcast on HiFM.com afterwards for you to go listen to, because again, I've already learned so much. It's been really, really insightful and helpful as well. And I'm pretty sure we're going to get more into it just now. I've earlier asked if you want to be part of the conversation. I would love for you to be part of the conversation tomorrow. Are you like me? Did you not know a lot about gut health? Do you know what gut health is? Do you have a good gut health? Because I feel I've established already that I have a relatively good gut health, which I want to share a little bit about. Again, I started off by telling you guys that I don't really think a lot. I love eating. So it's not that I don't, and I love cooking as well. So it's not that I don't know about and I don't just eat whatever. But especially now that I exercise quite regularly and I have children, that's where the catalyst I feel was children, first of all, to start thinking a little bit about what I'm making. So I do try to, and I mean, obviously my best friend is a dietitian, so that also helps. But I do try to have a balanced meals for my children. And a variety of different things. So I do feel we have a good amount of fruits and vegetables and fiber and things like that in our diet. So it's not that I don't think about it, but I'm now at a point where now, if for instance, and we do have takeaways, of course, I've got teenagers in my house, so there's no way I'm going to get away with not eating it. But I can literally feel the difference. If I eat a proper meal, my energy levels, how I'm feeling and how my body is feeling. Again, I do feel I have a lot more of awareness about it now, also because I'm exercising a lot. So I can feel the next day also when I run, if I didn't eat properly, what the impact is on it. But, and if I eat something like a takeaway, I can feel afterwards, I feel so bloated and I actually feel like I drank alcohol. It's almost like a hangover.
A food hangover
that I'm feeling.
Know about it.
And it feels crappy when I'm not eating well. So I am, even though I say I'm ignorant about it, kind of naturally I feel certain things. But it's also maybe it's because I'm also surrounded by people constantly who are informing me. So it's coming in even without me noticing. Osmosis is happening. But yeah, so if you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 HiFM, and I'm talking with dietitian Lisa Snyman, and we're talking about gut health and the importance of gut health, and that it's not just about what's happening in your stomach. In essence, it's happening what's happening in your whole digestive system, what is happening, and the impact it has on your immune system, which I have never even realized this impact.
Yes.
So obviously, it is going to help children to become sick less.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
We've established that the bacteria in the gut acts like a security team at a school's gate,
yeah,
preventing the trespassers, essentially preventing the germs from entering. So super important, you know. And I think in the field of medicine previously, we tended to when the season's change, let's think of the winter season where colds and flus are more prevalent. We've tended, and also look at the marketing. I mean, you're in the business of radio, but also television. We market vitamins and minerals for the cold season. Winter's upon us. We have to reach for our vitamins and minerals, and we have been conditioned to think like that. But research has now actually shown that the bacteria absorbing the vitamins and minerals stand central in successfully boosting the immune system. Also, the effect that the bacteria has on maintaining the gut lining and preventing the germs from entering the system. So the whole school of thought surrounding the boosting of immune system in children definitely changing and evolving. And we tend now to, with a multivitamin, add a probiotic. And in many instances, come winter, start the use of a probiotic to boost the immune system.
And I mean, that's also, and I mean, that's so super interesting, because again, that's also, I've heard that as well, that sometimes you can also, I mean, you drinking multivitamins and then you're just peeing it out. I don't even drink a lot of multivitamins. I drink calcium stuff. I don't drink because I feel like I have a proper balanced diet and it's not really necessary. But the probiotics, so it doesn't even help if you're taking a multivitamin if you're not having the right gut health. That's what you're saying.
I think the question is, if you're taking a multivitamin or you have a varied diet, is your body able to absorb the nutrients? And this is where the probiotics stand central in ensuring that that happens.
Okay. But now how would I, for instance, because it's not something you see necessarily, or I don't feel, it's like, how am I going to see in your gut now if you've got a good gut or not? Okay. How will I notice, like, is there signs that I can see that my child doesn't have a good gut health?
Yes, very good question. What should we look out for? What could indicate a compromised gut health? So I would think we need to consider tummy aches, regular tummy aches, possibly struggling with bloating, constipation, even diarrhea. I mean, we have to take into account that at a point, constipation develops to be
I just want to mention, so yes, my comment on pooping regular was not so
very relevant, very relevant. Yes. So, I mean, and at a point, you know, fecal impaction becomes so disruptive and intense that it leads to overflow diarrhea, which is confusing. I mean, the one day my child may present with constipation and the following day have diarrhea. But as a matter of fact, the child is so constipated, he or she is presenting with overflow diarrhea. And this is something that the addition of healthy bacteria can help resolve, but also fatigue and trouble concentrating. And obviously frequent colds can be indicative of a compromised gut health. They obviously, you've got to look at the bigger picture, but these symptoms, I would think we have to take into account and consider whether faulty gut bacteria is at play or not.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm learning so much, and like the little cogs in my brain or like coming together of like, oh, this makes now so much sense to me, certain things and how it happens. So yes. I'm loving it. If you've just joined me, you can also love it and go listen to the podcast afterwards on highfm.com. You are on 101.9 HiFM and this is Bump and Beyond. And today we're talking specifically about gut health and the importance. And I mean, clearly there is a serious, it's very important, the gut health, because you can be eating the healthiest food. If your gut health is not on par, your body's not going to be absorbing these necessary nutrients. So it is really important to ensure that the digestive system and this lining and this beautiful thing that I've learned about now is actually making a difference. As always, I do want you to be part of the conversation. So if you've got any questions or input on this topic, I would love to hear. Please do send us an SMS on 061-895-1019. I would love to hear if you have questions, if you knew all these things, or if you have some like information you would like to share of how your changing gut health made a difference. But now I come to the point, Lisa, my guest today, Lisa Snyman, who's a dietitian and mom of two. How do we now support the healthy gut in babies? Because now we said it's important, obviously. It helps with their growth. It helps with their development, all those type of things you've mentioned before. But what foods support healthy, like, gut health?
Yes, a very relevant question in this discussion, because what should we now do? What should I consider? So if we consider that at different ages, children or infants will have different diets, with infants, we would advocate exclusive breastfeeding for the particular benefit it holds, as we have discussed. But as soon as you start introducing solids, I think the key would be to maintain a balance in the diet, because to aim to never have, let's call it a wrong food. No. And I don't really believe in right foods or wrong foods. For me, the key lies in the balance. Can I never have sugary food? Can I never have a takeaway? I don't think it comes down to that, but it has to be in a balance. So as soon as we start weaning onto solid foods, now we have to consider including foods that will promote the optimal growth of the good bacteria in the gut. And this is where we turn to fibers, healthy fibers found in vegetables and fruit. So again, here comes the point where we need a varied diet, very important. And then the foods providing the needed bacteria, such as the fermented dairy products, you know, yogurts and kefir at this point, very popular. And so we need to, number one, take the probiotic, ensure that we have that in the diet, which should be provided by maybe the yogurt with live cultures, and then provided with a growth medium or food for survival. And that would be the fibers that we derive from vegetables and fruit.
I mean, it's like really like interesting for me as well. And I think also what you've now mentioned for me that's also relevant is that obviously your child's gut is also evolving as you're introducing. And I mean, that's why you don't introduce solids to a baby before a certain period of time.
Yes, I agree.
You shouldn't do it too late either, because all these things also have an impact not only on their digestive system, but also on their gut health then.
Definitely.
Like I said, the cogs in my head are like swirling. Yeah, I think maybe I should become a dietitian. I feel like this is an interesting topic.
We welcome you.
But again, now you've talked about the probiotics and the prebiotics. Mm. And now my question is, I mean, should you be supplementing then with probiotics and prebiotics? For children.
Yes. Is it necessary to take an over-the-counter supplement? Well,
yeah.
Number one, we have to consider, should that happen, what product should I take, or what should a product contain when I select a product? I think that's a different question. But if I have a varied diet, in other words, providing the prebiotic, the growth medium, the vegetables, the fruits, providing the fibers, and I have the source of the bacteria, maybe the fermented dairy products, essentially, you shouldn't need it unless extra is called for, maybe in the case of using antibiotics. But a healthy child not on antibiotics or adult with a varied diet, you should be fine without.
Oh, and I mean, that's the opposite of probiotic, pro anti.
There you go. Yes.
There we go. But I mean, that's also, and maybe that's not, now I'm getting on my soapbox again, that's not the cogs in my head thinking about it. Because in essence, if you've got a proper diet, mm-hmm. you don't need something extra.
Agreed.
But if you are adding something like an antibiotic or something to your, then you must have something to counter it.
Yes, definitely to be considered, because you have to make up for the damage done. And I think, unfortunately, in South Africa, we have a label for excessive antibiotic use. So I think it starts with, number one, adhering to what our medical practitioners advise us to do. When should I actually take the antibiotic? You know, it's not indicated in any and every case. But when needed, fighting off an infection where it could actually be life-saving, we definitely need to take the antibiotic. And the role and need for antibiotics in that particular situation is undisputed. But now I have to help by adding a probiotic that will actually survive and replace the probiotics killed off by that medication, because unfortunately, the antibiotics will kill off other positive, friendly organisms in the body.
Oh. And I mean, again, I'm learning so much. If you've just joined me, you're on 101.9 High FM. This is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting today, specifically about the gut health of children and the importance of the gut health. And I've realized how incredibly, I mean, this is a buzzword that we should be talking about a lot, because clearly it's making such a huge difference on our children's immunity, their growth, if you're growing well and eating well, you're in a better mood, you're developing well. So
yes.
It's just all like everything in the body. And I've said this so many times, often everything is interlinked. Very yes. seldom one thing is happening almost never. Anything happens in isolation. It works so together in this symmetry. So it is wonderful to learn about it. If you've got any comments, as always, please do send us a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. We would love to have your comments on gut health. If you've learned something, if you've got a comment or you want to ask something specifically, please do send us a message, we would love to hear from you. If you've only just joined us, where have you been? Yeah, in all honesty, you've really missed out on a good conversation thus far. So please do not worry, because you will be able to listen to it as a podcast on hivefm.com. So how can parents encourage gut-friendly eating habits, especially for like toddlers maybe that are picky eaters or something like that?
Well, the term picky eaters. You know what, I think there's it's such a multifactorial issue. There's so many things that interplay when it comes with the picky eating that we have to take into account, that just daily or regularly offering a new food, it won't necessarily aid that child in just accepting the food necessarily. And I think with all the luxuries of modern life, there's definitely a place for 60 checkers, 60-60, don't get me wrong. But the click and deliver comfort actually causes us to miss out on important events such as a shopping trip with mom. So I know we are tired, we're working hard, we don't have time for this, and we have quick fixes, alternatives of getting the groceries home and delivered, and in many instances, ready-made food. But there's a lot to be said for that old shopping trip with mom, of walking down the aisle in the food court or the fresh fruit market and commenting on the bright colors of the vegetables and fruit on display and discussing what should we buy, because this creates buy-in with the children in accepting a new food and then going home and preparing this. Even if the child is only involved in maybe washing the vegetables, you know, can't necessarily hand a child a knife to prepare, but being involved in that and then sitting at the table, dishing up together, spending time together as a family unit. And for me, there lies in success in that, in introducing children to new food, creating buy-in with them by having them involved in the whole process and not just serving them the new food. And I think doing that will enable the parent to introduce foods with health benefits, such as the yogurt, maybe as a sweet treat afterwards, or the kefir as a power shot in the morning on the way to school. So there's many ways of introducing foods, but the child has to be involved in selection and discussion and so forth. I think that helps greatly with acceptance of a new food.
Great. More on this just now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, if you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 Chai FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And we are talking gut health. It's been a fantastic conversation, full of lots of learning and learning about like the importance of the gut health. I was speaking to dietitian Lisa Snyman today. She's a dietitian also at Kloof Hospital here in Pretoria, but yeah, she's also in private practice. But we'll get to that just now, a little bit more on the details on that. But I mean, we've talked about the importance of gut health on the immunity and protecting you about getting from getting sick and those type of things. And again, it all the cogs in my head are moving and how I'm learning from this as well. But what does it have like a huge impact on our mood and our growth and our development? What is our mood going to be like if we have, because again, I'd say to you, for me, if I'm eating badly, like a takeaway, sometimes I have this hangover feeling.
We need to afterwards of it.
Like a food hangover type of thing. But there's really like, does it have an impact on our mood?
Oh, definitely. They've done quite a lot of research over the past few years, and they found that apart from in the brain, where you predominantly produce the feel-good hormones, and I'm referring here to serotonin and dopamine, so important for that feel-good factor, the biggest part of the body, apart from the brain, producing these feel-good hormones is situated in the bowel, namely the gut bacteria. So there's definitely this gut brain axis that they're considering these days and the effect that it has on mood. Therefore, if my gut health is compromised, I do not optimally produce the feel-good hormones, and it'll negatively affect my mood, which plays in on our children. And this is something we need to be conscious of. And just maybe to illustrate this, if I think of an example, I'm pitching to write an exam. I'm writing the exam cognitively. I'm thinking about the exam that I'm writing, but my stomach churns. So why would I, if I'm considering the stress, I'm writing an exam with my stomach churn? Or maybe let's illustrate this by considering how you feel when you see your first love. You know, if you see your beau, suddenly you've got butterflies. Why will I have butterflies in my stomach if I see a loved one? And this just illustrates the effect of thought and gut bacteria, where the one affects the other. So definitely there's interplay there, and we have to acknowledge this and then know that in children where gut bacteria is adversely affected, producing the feel-good hormones will also be affected, and something to be wary of, and therefore emphasize the importance of balancing the gut health.
No, and I mean, I love that because, but I mean, you've also mentioned it earlier when we were talking about picky eating, is that in essence, I mean, we're now talking about the physical. If you're eating good food, you're going to feel good about it.
Yes.
I know that. But, I mean, eating is also more than just physically eating the food.
Yes.
We're also talking here about getting the food, preparing the food
together.
The social interaction.
The development that stems from that.
And the connection that happens as a family when you're sitting together, all those things, which also has an impact on your mood, of course,
definitely,
as well. And then if it's a good meal, I'm telling you, if my kids eat a good meal, they're in a much better mood than when I force them to eat something that I don't like. So I can attest to the scientific proof is in the pudding. Literally. I like it. And next question I also, and we've also touched on this a little bit already, is antibiotics and the impact that it has on our gut health. How can parents support the recovery afterwards as well if you have antibiotics?
Yes, so number one, indicated antibiotic use, I would always combine with a probiotic supplement, you know, and also go out of my way to ensure probiotic foods in the diet, as we've mentioned, the natural yogurt with live cultures, very important when I use antibiotics to ensure that I provide extra bacteria for my gut system to keep that healthy. And then the growth medium, the vegetables and the fruit that will be needed to provide fiber for the bacteria to feed on and colonize the gut. So during the use of antibiotics, I think parents, the responsibility would be to provide that in the diet and then to combine that with a supplement to ensure that we do not run into trouble after antibiotic use.
But I mean, I mean that's now off the antibiotics, and hopefully you don't even have to get to that point that you have
yes.
to. But is gut health like a quick fix type of thing? Can you quickly, or is it something that is developing over time? It's a lifestyle or a diet? How do we do this? Is it how?
You know what? Gut health is something that is built over time. So we start taking this into consideration as early on as infancy, but it's not something that you can fix over a short period of time, or you neglect for years and then fix overnight. Unfortunately not. So it develops gradually, and consistent care is needed. When we work with patients, especially the pediatric patients, we put them on a bowel regimen to aid them to recolonize the gut bacteria. And you follow a certain diet program to obtain this. And it usually takes us 4 weeks to see a difference. So if I have symptoms, tummy ache, constipation, compromised immune system, and I want to address this, unfortunately, it's not a quick fix. Pop a tablet overnight, I'm seeing results. You know, it takes time for bacteria to colonize and have positive outcomes in terms of health.
Lisa, before you go, and we're strongly running out of time here, what are some simple changes that parents can take today
yes.
to boost their
I think that's very important, just to, you know, sign off and leave parents with a tip. I would say variety is key. Vegetables, fruit, we need the fiber. I love using psyllium husk because that's a great medium to grow your bacteria on. and then to aim to include at least three portions of this in a day and a probiotic food source, maybe a yogurt as a dessert, maybe yogurt as part of breakfast, maybe kefir as an energy booster shot before school or in the afternoons when the kids come home. That's also a good option. So on a daily basis, these are the foods I would aim to include in my child's diet.
Again, just repeat that. You said yogurt?
Yes, fermented dairy products, yogurt, and you'll see when you buy, it will say live bacteria cultures. Yeah. Very important. So the yogurt, the kefir, and my veggies and fruit.
What's kefir?
Oh, a fermented product where we use bacteria to break down the sugars in this. So some patients will be worried about it, the sugar in the product, but during the fermentation process, the sugar is actually broken down and you're left with a liquid full of friendly bacteria. And very important, take it after a meal so that the bacteria can survive the journey through the digestive tract.
Great. It's been so great talking to you.
Lovely being here. Always a pleasure.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, just like that, another show has come to an end. And it was a good one talking to Lisa Snyman about gut health in children and the importance of it. Lisa, just before you go, and I officially say goodbye, where can people find you, reach you, get help on their gut health?
Well, I'm based in Pretoria in Mediclinic Kloof, but we've got a great online presence and we do many online consultations to cut out on the time and traffic and leave a lighter carbon print. So we do a lot of online work.
Great. And so, but where can do you have like a website?
Yes, they can contact me on my website, lisasnymandiet.co.za.
No, it is .co.za.
Yes, yes. I was worried there, but you're right.
But you can also just Google Lisa Snyman and she will come up. There's not a lot of Lisa Snyman dietitians.
Only one.
So it's easy to find her. It's been wonderful talking with you.
Lovely.
Thank you so
Thanks
much
for having me. Such a pleasure.
Now, next week, I am chatting with a pelvic floor physio, something I also didn't know actually existed, to be honest, until recently. So I'm very much, as you know, I've talked about Kegels a lot. So I'm very much excited to talk about, talk to Isabel Deist about it. I mean, you know her clearly.
Yes.
Isabel Deist about Beyond Kegels, the real talk on pelvic floor health that we're talking about next week. So please join me next week on that. But just like we nurture our children's bodies with good food and care, we can also nurture their hearts with kindness. Remember, the best gift we can give our children is the example of kindness. So go out there and be kind. Thank you so much for joining me today. Until next time, enjoy your day.